Well, I haven't seen the report. I looked at the papers this morning, the Cape Times and other local papers. It wasn't reported here. But if it's been reported, I'm not surprised about that at all. There have been, I think, since that as an attempt on General Kayumba, there have been tensions, but I think they've been handled quietly. It was some sort of quiet diplomacy. I think South Africa took exemption to the fact that, an attempt would be made on a senior, former senior member of the regime who had formerly come down here and as a refugee. And that attempt was made on South African soil. So I think that there have been quite diplomatic tensions around. And as a result of that, I'm not surprised that that happened. But you'll recall that this General Kayumba's, an attempt on General Kayumba has been followed by the assassination of the journalist in Rwanda, assassination of another lawyer in Rwanda, prominent lawyer in Rwanda, assassination of another prominent lawyer in Dar es Salaam, and all these have been linked somehow to the Rwandan regime. And it will seem, therefore, South Africa, as a player in the region, and seeing himself also as an important player in the continent, but more in terms of conflict resolution, would have taken exception to this trend. And that would seem to explain, if, as you say, the ambassador has recalled, it would seem to explain this kind of step.
Well, Professor Ajulu, friends of General Kayumba say that he expressed worry that there were suggestions that some attempt would be made on his life, and that is why he pretty much absconded to South Africa, where he thought it would be a safe haven. Do you think that probably the South African administration took an exception to the attempt on his life because several people have been arrested in association with the assassination attempt?
Yeah, I think that, that could well be true, because if you recall, the potential assassins were arrested within 24 hours. The rumor on the street was that, they were all ex-Rwandans. So the link was established. I talked to the Kayumbas because I know them from our East African perspective. I talked to the Kayumbas, and they had no doubt in their mind that this was linked to the Rwandan regime, and Rosette, particularly Dr. General Kayumba's wife, said it was Kagame who was going for them. Yeah. No. So, but from South African point of view, I think that, given the close relationship that the South African regime has had with Rwanda over a long period, given the role that South Africa has played in that particular region, particularly in Burundi, I think that South Africa will take exceptions to this kind of trends. I had discussion. I had a talk with Kayumba when he just arrived from Rwanda. We discussed at length his patient. He was particularly concerned. Then he was concerned about his family, which he still had left in Rwanda, in India, because you will recall that he was Rwanda's ambassador to India. And when his family finally joined him, he was particularly concerned about his safety. And being somebody who was very closely associated with the regime, he was part of the RPF, which brought the genocide to an end in Rwanda. He was very closely linked to the regime, was a very close friend of Kagame. I'd seen what had been going on in Kagame in Rwanda since this fallout started. So he was very concerned about his safety. And within 2 weeks of a discussion with him, I had this report about assassination attempt on him on a weekend. So it was quite spot on. It was very clear that he knew what he was dealing with. He's running away from the thing, from Rwanda. He knew that, I mean, these people would come for him. And all indications are that this is something that came from Rwanda. Now, there would be nobody here who would want to assassinate Kayumba. Nobody knew him here.
Now, Professor Ajulu, let me ask you this question. Some people have expressed concern that about three quarters of President Kagame's cabinet have gone into exile for fear of their life, and expressing concern ahead of the election of some statements the president is making, which they think are not presidential. What do you make of that?
Now, as far as I'm concerned, I think that, I mean, the Rwanda regime has become a rogue regime in terms of what it's doing to their own people. A number of people in the cabinet since Kagame came into power have left one after another. You now have a situation where the people in exile, prominent people in exile, particularly those people in exile, people in the cabinet, are running into good teams, or almost 20. Now, you can't have a regime which has more than 20 ex-cabinet ministers in exile. It doesn't augur well for stability and sustainability of that regime. And that is what Kagame is facing. But much more critical is the fact that here is a regime which is based on, if you look at ethnic composition of the Rwanda society, it's a regime which is based on potential support of about 15% of the Tutsis. The Hutu is another 85%, are not particularly represented in this regime. So how you can craft sustainability and stability in that regime just beats me. So some of us who are looking at the East African situation and looking at the prospects of the integration of the region, given that Rwanda and Burundi has joined the East African community, are just wondering how you're going to create stability, political stability in Rwanda, and sustain the integration project in East Africa.